And in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You'll conceive and you will give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him a throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." And she asked, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered and said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is now in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be fulfilled in me." Then the angel left her. And at this time, Mary got ready, and she hurried down into the hill country, to the country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped inside her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises in her." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months, and then she returned home. Because in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken to the entire Roman world. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house of the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him up in cloths, and she placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them and said, "Glory of the Lord has shone around you." And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared, with the angels praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those who favor rest." Then the angels had left them and gone into heaven. The shepherds said one to another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary, and they found Joseph, and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, the child, all who had been prophesied about, all were amazed what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up in all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, and during the reign of King Herod, about that same time, wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." Then Herod called for a private meeting with these wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star had first appeared. And then he told them, go to Bethlehem, search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I too can go and worship him. After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. Then they opened up their treasure chests and they gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And when it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. The joy of Christmas. You know, this Christmas and many other Christmases, we get a lot of Christmas cards in the mail with all those pictures, those Christmas pictures that you went out and did, been planning all winter long and all Christmas, getting ready for those family pictures and get those cards out. And there's always a couple of overachievers who send out Christmas letters along with their Christmas cards. And some of you are like, yeah, that was me. I did one 3 years ago or whenever. I always envy those people who were able to be that organized that they can actually get the letter to go out. I mean, we're just lucky to get a card out, you know, or get the picture made. And it seems like some of the letters you get, you know, are just simple updates. And every once in a while you get a letter and you hear about how great their life is. And you're like, you know, nobody can be that good. You know, seriously, it's like, oh, we had a fantastic year, you know. Johnny's doing this, and he's done this, and he's won the award for this in track, and he won the award for this in basketball, and he won the award for this in football. You know, and Susie made all straight A's, is on the president's honor roll, and she's been accepted into Harvard, and, you know, and we just got back from the Fuji Islands, you know, and we just, oh, but by the way, it was so stressful, we had to move into our new home, and you know, we get those that were like, you know, no, man, nobody's life is really that good, right? You just kind of think, man, it's a little over the top, right? Because I'm like thinking about myself, and like, you know, we're just lucky. All of our kids made it through. We passed this year. Yeah, all right. We passed. We did good, you know, and nobody quit this year. We did great. And, you know, I only slept on the couch about 2 months this year instead of 6 months last year. So, you know, I wasn't in the doghouse too much. And, you know, we actually caught up on our mortgage this year. This is great. You know, we didn't get any more debt this year. That was awesome. You know, we feel like some accomplishment. And that's a little more real, right? Sometimes a little more real than some of those letters I've read. And I think that many times we often see the joy based on what we can put in those letters. The joy is connected to those events in our life. See, the joy of Christmas can't be found in a holiday. The joy of Christmas must be found in the Savior. That's where the joy is found out. That's where the joy is really, the true joy of Christmas is found inside. Look at Luke 2 and verses 10 and 11. And look what it says. It says, but the angel reassured them, don't be afraid. He said, I bring you good news that will bring what? Great, let's say it together, joy. One more time. Will bring great joy to all people. You're in luck today. That's us. That's all of us today. No matter who you are, that Jesus came to bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. Jesus came to bring great joy. And what we got to understand is the difference between joy and happiness. You see, happiness and joy are a little bit different. Happiness is external. Happiness can be found in that letter. Happiness is, all right, I had a great year. Oh, we had a great year. We were able to do this. We were able to go here. We were able to buy this. Everybody's getting along this year, you know. So it was happiness. But joy is something much deeper than happiness. Joy is something that's happened on the inside. It's eternal. It's internal and eternal. It's something that happens. It's based on what's going on inside of me in my heart. This is where joy is found. See, look at this statement. Joy is not connected to my circumstances. Joy is connected to my Savior. If you get nothing else this Christmas, I want you to get that. That joy is not connected to how great of a year you have. You know, we're going to have good years, and sometimes we're going to have some real challenging years. Pastor, you're supposed to be encouraging me today. It's Christmas. Okay, let me reword that and tell you the truth. You're going to have some good years, and you're going to have some really hard years. That's the truth, right? That's the truth. Life is full of seasons of ups and downs and challenges, and sometimes they're fruitful and sometimes they're painful. Sometimes we're just scraping to get by, and sometimes we're seeing an abundance. It goes through seasons, and if my happiness can go up and down, but joy is something that you can't take away. Joy is something that's found on the inside. A person can be full of joy and still be facing a very hard time in their life. A person can be full of joy and still be facing a very difficult season. Why? Because joy is not found in circumstance. Joy is found in the Savior. And those who have connected with the Savior, those who have received the Savior, they know that something different is happening in their life. And even though they're going through a hard time, they know that my joy is not found in these things, because these things will fade. The only thing that will last forever, for eternity, is my relationship with the Savior. This is what will sustain. This is what's important. I love the way it's worded in 2 Corinthians 4:16. It backs up this principle. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we're wasting away. Boy, how encouraging is that, right? But inwardly, we're being renewed day by day. You see, it's something happening on the inside of me. Joy of Christmas should be something happening on the inside of me. In spite of the challenges, it should be something happening on the inside of me. So I just ask you this question. We're going to take communion in just a minute. But first of all, I just want to ask you this question. What are we teaching our families? What are we teaching our children about joy and happiness? I challenge you, before you ever open up a present with your kids this Christmas, to sit down and talk about where true joy is found. Because true joy is found, first of all, is found not only in the manger and upon the cross, but it's also found in the person sitting next to you. It's in relationships that God's blessed us with. It's in family. And it's us knowing that we belong to the family of God. These things will not fade. See, this is where it's at, because we all know too well. We have people in here, you know this to be known. We have people in our church that, man, it's been a tough year. Leave and come back, and everything they own is gone. It's up. It's gone. We've lost in tornadoes. We've lost in house fires. We've lost because of jobs. We know that all the things we had, those things can be taken away. And if your joy is found in that, and then you're not going to ever experience true joy. No, my joy is not found in that. My joy is found in relationships with each other, with my family, and most of all, it's anchored in the fact that Jesus Christ came, brought new life to me. And on the inside now, no matter what I go through, even whether I'm happy or whether I'm struggling, my joy doesn't change, because my joy is not connected to my circumstance. It's connected to my Savior. This is where true joy is found today. So I challenge you, take time. Teach your children where joy is truly found. It's not found in how many likes we're going to get on our Christmas photo on Instagram or Facebook, right? That may bring some instant happiness, but it's not true joy. True joy is found in the Savior, what God thinks of us. This is why I read the Christmas story today, and we like to do it every Sunday before Christmas, because I think we've lost the art of sitting down, reading to our children really what Christmas is about. And I want to make sure we continue to do that and encourage you to do that. I'm going to ask our servers to go ahead and prepare to serve our communion today. And I want you today just to look inwardly into your heart today and ask yourself that question about joy. Am I getting the true joy from the inside, or am I allowing my joy to be kind of a smokescreen because I'm happy because of my circumstance? Am I really learning what it means to have an inward joy that no matter what, through every difficult season, through every great season, my joy remains the same because I'm anchored in what God says about me, who God is in my life, that I've surrendered my life fully to Jesus Christ. I invite you to hold your candles up. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you came as the light of the world. And I pray that during this Christmas season, we remember that you are our hope. You are our inward joy, that it comes from you in a relationship with you. I pray to Father, this same joy that we have on the inside would reflect on the outside. And as we leave here today, that we could show the same Christmas love and joy to others. Teach us, Father, to show your joy. Teach us to rest in your joy. And we thank you for the light of the world, your Son, Jesus, this Christmas. And we say together, amen and amen. You may blow them out. Make sure that you give... Make sure all of our section leaders take those back up in the baskets and pick those up. Are you guys ready for Christmas? All right. It was so good to have you today. We thank you so much for taking time to be with us and to worship with us this Sunday morning before Christmas. God bless you. Be safe traveling, those who are on the road. And we say Merry Christmas. Turn to somebody and say Merry Christmas.